Afternoon, and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 a.m. on Thursday, the 10th of October. The Boldness is about standing up for your disability rights instead of waiting for some well-meaning person to give them to you. My name is Rafael Coward. Now, today we are joined by a very important guest. I hope this means something to listeners and to the whole world. We are joined by Patrick Lissay, who is doing a solo performance of his play. I hope this means something to you. How are you today, Patrick?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me, Rafael.
Look, it's very, 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 very exciting. It's an absolute honour to have you on The Boldness on 3CR as part of this Melbourne Fringe special. Now, we're going to go straight into this. I hope this means something. What's it about? A play?
Yeah, it's a one-person play about a activist who decides to set themselves on fire as protest. And the work is getting inside their mind and their motivations and trying to understand what drove them to that place.
Yep, sure. Look, as I happen to get this, that how did this all come about? It's about the environment, but why is it important that we talk and bring the environment and the arts together into a major festival such as Melbourne Fringe Festival?
That's a great question. I think for me, what was most important is about figuring out ways of telling new kinds of stories about climate change, because I think so many people have become fatigued and there's so much to be overwhelmed by in our lives. I think that our stories are a really powerful and important tool we have to engage people and to get people's attention. So that was kind of my goal with this project, is to think about how could I re-engage audiences with the climate crisis.
Yeah, Ben, part of your research, Patrick, who were the types of people that you spoke with?
I spoke to many people. I conducted interviews for about 4 months. I spoke to scientists from the CSIRO. I spoke to scientists who had travelled to Antarctica with the Homeward Bound female women in STEM project. I spoke to traditional owners from the Northern Territory and from the Torres Strait. I saw many, many people and got a hugely differing perspective on the climate crisis.
Yep. Now, why is it important to engage with both? I hope I'm going to get my terminology correct.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Correct here. Why is it important to actually hear from, let's say, everyone from the climate scientists, the people who have actually been to Antarctica? Antarctica is, I believe, a huge ice mass, another continent in itself, delegates, and especially the First Nation traditional owners. Why is it important to hear from everybody else's perspectives here?
I think for me it started from a place of I just wanted to know more, and I really wanted to educate myself before I dove into this world, and particularly when it comes to the climate crisis. It is a problem with capitalism and with colonisation that has led us towards this place. And so in terms of engaging with First Nations folks, it's about understanding First Nations relationships to land, and I firmly believe that those are the pathways forward towards a livable future. And so for me, talking to First Nations leaders in their communities was really important, because they have the answers. You know, they have the knowledge that we need, and they understand what it is to have a balanced relationship with the planet and with the way we live. So that was really important to me.
Well, look, it's a very ear-opening title. I hope this means something. It sounds like you're extremely passionate about the environment, and then you're exploring the interconnections between Greece, the community, and our desperate need to believe in something, but whatever it is that actually is, like you're trying to make a difference with what you're actually doing?
Well, I think I'm more trying to connect with audiences who maybe feel the same way I do, in that I'm someone that's grown up being told that there is a huge problem with the planet, and that problem is our way of life, and that problem is us burning fossil fuels and all the policies we have subsidizing the fossil fuel industry. So that has just been the reality of my life. And I've been going to protests since I was a kid. I have been campaigning with environmental groups since I was a teenager. And so to now be 30 and to still be in this position where it feels like those in power aren't really listening and aren't really taking the steps that scientists and First Nations folks are pleading with them to take, I think there's just a lot of frustration and a lot of confusion and a lot of heartbreak out there for young people. And I wanted to write a story that gave them permission to feel all of those things, to feel really let down by the world we grew up in. Yeah.
Well, you've got this fantastic quote. I'm going to read it out because I believe that 3CR, the boldness, they actually need to hear what the quote is before we have a discussion.
Oh, sure. Okay.
On it. They have a point. Anyone who's paying attention knows that we're losing. Government is too slow, corporations lack incentive, and scientists no tangible power. When I hear people say they're giving up hope, I want to be Stanley Tucci in Devil Wears Prada and say, be serious, Andy, you're not trying, you're whining. And the important part of the quote is, of course I have much deeper empathy than that, and so I don't. As a storyteller and someone who truly cares about the future of this planet, I have an obligation to try and take people back a few steps. Anyone who feels that way has the same obligation. How can we use the stories we tell to reframe this narrative? Can you try to talk this us through this quote? Because with the analogy, it's a big, big quote, and we can explore this in a big way, like with some of the analogies in it.
Yeah, a little bit of the Devil Wears Prada reference in there. But I think the main, what I was getting at when I said that was, I know so many people around me who have really lost all hope that the future can be better. In particular, so many younger people than me really have quite a cynical view of the world and don't think change is possible. And that's quite heartbreaking and quite confronting and also very understandable. But I guess what I was quite facetiously trying to say is that for a lot of people, we're really not using the tools at our disposal to try and go out there and change much. We're banging our heads against the walls, but for a lot of us, we're doing that alone. We're feeling quite frustrated alone. And so what would it look like if we really, truly found community through that struggle? I think there's so many people finding that right now. I think this year has been a huge turning point for that. People genuinely coming together for Palestine and against the genocide unfolding in Gaza. And I think that's a great example of how people genuinely coming together to find community. So I wanted to, when I said that earlier this year, I was feeling like a lot of people were feeling quite frustrated and heartbroken about the state of the planet. There wasn't many people really, really going out of their way to find community through that struggle. So.
Right. Well, is it this one of part of people are doing maybe their best and being heartbroken and following their solo activities, but there's been some group protests, for example, on the Westgate Bridge.
Yeah. I spoke to those two of the people who blocked the Westgate, Violet and
yep.
My brain's just blank. Sorry, I'm in the middle of the season, but yes, Violet and Brad. I spoke to Violet and Brad for my interest. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, kind of like, how important is it to use protests in order to cultivate or to educate people about what is actually happening in the world in the environment?
It's a great question, something I'm really not certain of, to be honest. I see the value in protest. As someone who has participated in many protests, I want to believe it does something. But then I also spoke to a lot of people who really thought it was quite counterproductive. A lot of scientists really feel that way. And so I think it's just too big of a question, I think, for me to answer, certainly. But I think people caring and people going out of their way to try and communicate their concern, I think, could only ever be helpful.
Yeah, Ben, that's a very, very valid point, Patrick. It is actually about the personal experiences that you've actually had with the protest and what actually happened. And I'm very much on the view where we're of giving up hope and no tangible power, because I would argue that from a scientific perspective in terms of the environment, when it comes down to, let's say, carbon zero emissions, the way from an accounting point of view, when it comes down to dollars and cents, by the time the parameters are actually changed of what those key indicators are, maybe it's the number of hectares of forests that are actually there, about offsetting, we don't do this because it takes less carbon, but we do that because it takes less carbon. By the time it's taken from that perspective, instead of saying this is the environment, taking out all the economic factors from an accounting perspective, it will always equal zero, and those figures will either be up or down, depending on what the government is coming from. That's a personal thought on how it goes from, because even the things like jet airplanes, we can get a private jet, we can go across from, let's say, Taylor Swift, one person across to Australia. Now, I'm not terribly sure if they're taking the best use of resources. That's a personal perspective, but by the same token, she might be donating millions or billions off the other way to do what she believes in, such as, I think it was the food banks over in England, the villages as well. Does that actually offset that type of environmental damage where they're trying to actually help other people in the community? Because I think that's also part of the narrative where it comes down to people are doing their best anyway.
I mean, it's all so complex and connected, isn't it? And I guess that's how we've wound up in this situation where we live these very complex lives that are so reliant on so many destructive practices. And so what is the path forward? I really don't know. All I know is that it's quite frustrating.
Look, it actually is very frustrating. So we're going to take a quick little break here, and we're going to play some community service environment. We're going to play some community service announcements, I should say. Then we're going to be back, and we're going to talk about, continue the discussion with Patrick Livesey from I Hope This Means Something. Welcome back to the Boldness on Thursday, the 10th of October. The Boldness is talking with Patrick Livesey, who is the star of I Hope This Means Something. Now, Patrick, there's quite a list of awards, achievements that you have. Like, for example, is that you are the inaugural recipient of, I think it's the Fringes Environmental Commission production?
Yeah, so that's how this work came to be. Is earlier in the year, I received the Climate Crisis Fund from Melbourne Fringe and the Malcolm Robertson Foundation, which is, I think they're going to be doing it every year now, with providing support to create a new show, attempting to engage with the climate crisis in new and novel ways. So, yeah, I was very, very honoured to receive that.
Look, and kind of like, again, why is it important to major festivals like Melbourne Fringe Festival to take on board what is actually happening in the community to create awards for commissioned work for people to display and educate people?
Yeah, it's such a great initiative, and it's really thanks to the Malcolm Robertson Foundation and Melbourne Fringe for coming together to create this opportunity. I think something that really inspired me throughout this process was a lot of the work by Dr. Ayana Elizabeth Johnson, and she is a marine biologist who wrote a book, All That We Can Save. And what she talks about is how people went from, in the last few years, especially due to COVID, I think COVID really took the wind out of a lot of climate activism. Pre-COVID, there was so much happening with the school strikes, there was so much attention, and then obviously everyone got quite severely impacted by the pandemic. But what happened in those few years, she says, is that people went from hoping that everything was possible in terms of saving the climate and kind of turning things around, to in the last couple of years really believing that nothing was possible. And no matter what we did, it's all over and it's just a matter of time until, you know, chaos breaks out. And what she's really passionate about communicating is that there is a big middle ground that we seem to have lost in the shuffle, whereas we can't save everything, but there's a lot to be saved before we lose everything as well, if that makes sense. And so it's about focusing on the things that are still very, very much achievable. And I thought that was quite inspiring because it's about coming to terms with reality, which is that things are going to get bad. And we are locked into a lot of change, but that doesn't mean it's all over. And falling into despair is understandable, but it really is a choice that I think so many of us shouldn't be making.
Yeah, but again, is that as an observation, like the doomsday grace here, if that...
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like, apparently if that melts, it appears from a scientific perspective, well, it's really all over for everyone at that point.
Exactly, and that's not the case at all. It's really not from a scientific perspective. That is just not what scientists are saying. Like, things are bad, really bad, but a lot can still be saved.
Yeah. Yeah, Ben, look, we're going to actually give you the little wind-up little questions here, and it's a chance that people, Patrick, for you to actually say, what is the best reason for people to see, I hope this means.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Yes, but you've got to let me build you up here first, Patrick. Kind of like Patrick lives the recipient of 11 Fringe Festival Awards after following an award-winning turns in Dirt and Naomi. Lizzie once again dives beneath the banal to bring audience a visceral, vulnerable and vital story that reflects the weight of a dying planet on the human soul. And if numerous productions here receiving awards such as Best Performance from Fringe World in 2022, the Frank Ford Award from Adelaide Fringe in 2021, Adelaide Critique Circle Award in 21 and 22, recipient of the Martin Bequest for Acting, and shortlisted for the Cooper Prize. That's actually quite a big list there, Patrick. Now, what is the best reason to see, I hope this makes something?
What a segue. The best reason to see this is if you are someone that feels a lot about the future and has a lot of anxiety about the future, but also a lot of hope, this is a show that really gives you permission to feel all of those things. And I want people to come and really be in their feelings about it all. You know, you don't have to sit there and think. It's a really engaging story. It's a really wild ride, and you'll come out the other end having gone through it all and found a little reason to keep going.
Well, is it just before we go then, Patrick, how do people get tickets?
And you can get tickets at melbournefringe.com.au via the Fringe website or via chapeloffchapel.com.au.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to say thank you very much for making time in this very busy time of the year for speaking with the Boldness. Patrick, we really appreciate you coming on board with this. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much. It was an honor.
The Boldness would like to thank Patrick Livesay, the star of I Hope Something, showing at Chapel Auden Chapel as part of Melbourne Fringe Festival. To show all about the environment sounds absolutely fantastic. Touches on references to mental health, the environment, and how people can respond. The Boldness is part of this series on the Melbourne Fringe. Next week on Thursday, the 17th of October, talking with the Inclusive Crew, who is part of
the Wild at Heart Community Arts about their show, Flow Without Limits, the Inclusive Crew story. It's going to be utterly sensational. Also, next week, the Boldness back at its regular spot at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, 16th of October. I'd like to thank you very much for joining me on 3CR 855 AM today. And in keeping with the theme of the environment, we're going to go out with a song from Amanda Hart's song, and it's called The Call of the Camera Wheel. Thank you very much for listening.